I don't know how many of you that drama brought memories back to you, but that brought back to me an awful lot of very vivid memories. A little bit hard to come on after that. That's how I spent a lot of my teen years, which I regret didn't pay off to fight with my folks. But there's times we don't know what else to do, isn't there? There's times we don't know how to express those kind of feelings. There's times we wish we could reach out to the adult in our life and the adult to the child in our life, and it's a little bit hard to do. The topic that brings us together today is probably not the most pleasant in the world. If you were going to pick a topic, it's probably not the one you would pick to talk about. But drugs has made its presence known in America and in our lives, and it touches all of our lives one way or the other, either our immediate family or our extended family, or our neighbor or our relatives. Everywhere you turn, whether we go to the schools, we go to the elementary, we go to the middle school, we go to the junior high, we go to the high schools, we go to the colleges, the marketplace, the home, the church, and on the streets we find drugs. No age group has been left immune from its poison. You turn the television on right now, you turn on the radio, you open up a magazine, you open up a newspaper, and what we find, the topic we find people talking about, are drugs. How big the problem is, how devastating it is, and what to do about it. If you're like me, as a parent, I don't like to think about the prospect of drugs and alcohol affecting my children, as I'm sure you don't. But the fact of the matter is that unless we take, as parents, positive steps now, our children are at risk. And that's all there is to it. They will remain at risk. During the next few weeks, we're going to discuss what you can do about this problem. I personally believe that as large as the drug problem and alcohol problem seem, sometimes, in fact, to me it seems like an unbeatable monster that is just waiting to pounce on our kids when they get to a certain age, a certain time, when our back is turned, wham, it's got them. And we're left out in the cold. And sometimes it can be a little bit alarming, but I personally believe that moms and dads, there are things that we can do, that we have power and an ability right now to change our children's future. We have the ability to secure for them a drug-free future if we will commit ourselves as parents to the things that you learn in the next 5 weeks. I can promise you they will make a tremendous difference in your relationship with your children. I'd like to share one verse with you out of the book of Proverbs, which is a book in the Bible, and it's a book of practical everyday advice. And it says this: train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he's old, he won't depart from it. God is trying to tell us in that verse that if we take a child and we train them in the way they ought to go, or we don't train them in the way they ought to go, either one, when they're older, they'll stay on the path. Now, what many people have done today is they've taken that verse and they've interpreted it like this: train a child when he's young, and when he's old, he'll come back to it. That's not what the verse says. That's not what God intended, is that we all raise prodigal children and hope that they come back. Because you know as well as I do, most of them do not. Most of them, once they go prodigal, most of them, once they leave, and they leave in the scenario that we saw this morning, you don't get them back. Not really. And the pain is unbelievable. I think subtly what's happened today is parents, and I talk to parents all the time, and this is the feedback I get from them. This is what I hear people discussing. Well, subtly, this is the parenting philosophy. Listen, kids are kids. They don't listen to me anyway. They never have. And they're just going to do what they want to do anyway. That's what I did when I was a kid. And that's what they're going to do. Now you may think to yourself, well, I don't believe that philosophy. But you would be amazed how prevalent that mindset is for parenting. Well, I want to tell you something. That may have been true for you growing up. That may have been the way you were brought up. And that may be the philosophy that you think is true today, but it doesn't have to be that way. It does not have to be that way. Kids will do what they have been trained to do and what they have not been trained to do, one way or the other. In fact, did you know that research today, statistics show that despite all the peer pressure and all the other forces in a person's life, still the major influence in a child is, guess who? Mom and dad. Mom and dad. And do you know how? You know why that statistic is true? We tend to think, well, wait a minute. They don't take the positive things from me. They take the negative things from me. You see, one way or the other, we influence our kids. One way or the other. With our hypocrisy, with our aloofness, with our busyness, with our time, with our love, with whatever, we make an impact on them and we influence them. We think their friends influence them, but oftentimes they go to their friends because they can't go to us. Now, I know every one of us in this room desires to be the very best parent possible. Sometimes that isn't always easy. Sometimes that's very difficult. It's a challenge. Parenting is not an easy thing to do. In fact, did you know the three major reasons that people use drugs? The three major reasons, statistical reasons, are low self-esteem, insecurity, and a desire for acceptance and a place to belong. I would like to read you an article that I found in a book called Children and Drugs, the Next Generation. It's put out by the Minnesota Police and Peace Officers Association. It's free. It just came out this year. And I have to admit, I was quite amazed to find this article in this book. This gentleman who wrote it has worked with 3,000 young people in drug rehabilitation programs. He has not lost one to drugs or suicide in the last 7 years. And he writes this. I want to emphasize a very important point. We live in a very materialistic society. Everybody has heard that before, and most people will agree it's true. But what does that have to do with getting a kid into drugs? A great deal. Parents themselves who are out in the world, always pursuing a better standard of living for their family out of love, could easily be teaching a kid that getting things is what makes you a success in life. In this pursuit to get things, even in the name of showing more love to your family, we by our actions are saying to kids, things and not relationships are where it's at when it comes to success, status, worth, and happiness. Think about it. When parents give things to show the kids they love them, instead of giving them a deep but trusting love relationship, the kid is a number one candidate for drug abuse. Why, you ask? Because most kids take drugs in order to feel like they can relate and belong to someone. Their desperation for a relationship that is lacking in the home is really seen when some friend will invite them to use and offer them this sick kind of way of relating. In other words, if a kid is given everything at home but a meaningful and deep relationship, he will definitely at least give drugs a try in order to fill that void he or she feels is lacking in the family. There is no tighter relationship than people who use drugs together. They get high together, they act illegally, they lie and deceive together, they develop a sick trust or pact that keeps their dangerous activities hidden from parents and authorities. In a word, they belong. You see, when a person gets high, they release their inhibitions. They share the truth of what they feel about everything with a fellow user, and that is usually because they believe they cannot be that open and straightforward with their family and parents. I gotta tell you, that's hard medicine, isn't it? That's hard medicine to take. And we may think, I don't believe that. I don't buy that. But moms and dads, if you stop for a moment, many of us are the baby boom generation. Many of us that have kids now, we experimented, and you know that. Many of us used alcohol or maybe still do. Many of us used drugs or still do. And if you look back and for a moment, for just a moment, like Corinne did this morning in the drama, well, be honest with your emotions, what all of us really wanted when we were teenagers and when we were kids, in fact, what we still want today, is the love and acceptance of our family. We so desperately wanted that time with mom and dad. We so desperately wanted their attention and their unconditional love. But you see, it's so often it wasn't given, or our parents didn't know how to show it. We ended up with our peer group where there was no questions asked. Everyone's doing the same thing. And we could all share those things together. And of course, you know, one of the biggest things kids get together and talk about is their mom and dad anyway. We ought to learn something from that. Mom and dads, in a nutshell, what our kids need most from us are our time, our attention, our loving acceptance, and our friendship. That's not easy to do, though. You know why? One reason is because so often today, the American dream is so promoted in our society. It's very difficult to keep clear-minded that what's most important in life is your children. Not the home that you've always wanted to own, the two cars that you need to own, the lake cabin, the boats, and all the other trinkets of life that when you boil everything down, don't bring any happiness. Almost everyone in my extended family, my cousins, my aunts and uncles, almost without exception, have been brutalized by alcohol and drug abuse. Every single one of them. Their kids' marriages are ruined. Many of them been in jail. I've had a cousin that's serving 10 years for selling heroin. And almost every one of their families have been decimated. And I grew up with them. The parents didn't have time. The parents didn't have... You see, that what their parents thought is that my kid needs the Guess jeans and the Reeboks and all the other trinkets of life that takes two incomes to get. Or that takes a total devotion and sacrifice to my career to get. And what our kids are trying to say to us is, Mom and Dad, I need you. Mom and Dad, I'd love to spend some time with you if I just knew you wanted to spend time with me. See? But kids, you see, Mom and Dad, they don't always have the courage to come up and sit you down, look you in the eye, and express their feelings. Say, Mom, Dad, I'd just like a little time with you. I really miss you. Can we talk? When we talk about how personal we get with our kids, how many parents actually ever talk to their kids about sex? It's usually with a book. Here you go, son. Read the book. Here you go, sweetheart. Read the book. Oh, they get that at school, right? Yeah, you know, where they hand out free condoms. Great place. Great place to get your education. It ought to be coming from us, Mom and Dad. But I'll tell you a little, let me give you a little insight into our relationship with our kids. It's very tough to talk about that, isn't it? The other day we were watching a television program or some commercial. And watching a football game, and a commercial came on. And it was about a movie about a teenage prostitute and how this became a problem. My daughter looks at me now and goes, Dad, what's a prostitute? 9 years old. Oh, so how do I explain that one? Geez, I don't know. Daughter, ask your mother. Don't ask me. How should I know? Well, I tried to explain it to her the best I could with the limited knowledge that she has. But you can see, we just never get into those kind of things very often with our kids. They find it in the schoolyard. They find it on the walls of the bathroom. You know, they find that every place but where it really ought to come. And I think that just indicates the other things in our relationship. Listen, if you're like most parents, okay, where do we go to get trained? I mean, where do you go to check in, you know, to get help as a parent? Where do you go to have someone teach you the ropes? For many of us, we look back in our life and go, well, it would have been nice to learn it in my home life, but my home life wasn't that great. I talk to so many people. I've done so much counseling. And I'll ask people, would you like the kind of family life you had? Oh, no. Oh, no, I wouldn't like that. 9 times out of 10, I hear that. You're an exception if you come from a situation you say, I'd like to have a family just like I grew up with. So it's very difficult to get that training. But let me share this with you. Moms and dads, if you're willing to learn, and if you and I are willing to look at ourselves in the mirror, which is sometimes very hard to do, then I believe in the next 4 weeks after today, including today, you will learn valuable information that I promise you, if you do it, will make you a successful parent. But the question comes in, do and are we willing to learn? Let's just talk about evaluation for a moment. On your jobs, everyone here probably has worked or is working currently. On your jobs, you have job evaluations, don't you? The boss sits down with you and tells you what you're doing right, and hopefully tells you what you're doing right, and what could be improved in. Football. Football's a wonderful sport. It's my favorite sport. Let's talk about football. Football is a game of evaluation. Bottom line, it's a game of evaluation. Have you ever looked at those guys and thought to yourself, I'd like to play? How would you like to be in a room of 55 guys, professionals, making from $500,000 a year to $2 million a year, and you're sitting in the room and the coach points you out on the film. He says, all right, Walker. Now this play, it was right. It wasn't right. You dropped the ball on us here. You get that play down for next week. See? See, that's what makes greatness, is a willingness to evaluate. Is a willingness to look ourselves in the mirror and realize, I can improve, I can excel. In fact, moms and dads, what this is really the hardest of all. What we sometimes have to admit is that our best has got to get better. That our best has got to get better. During the next 4 weeks, we will discuss how to develop a deep, lasting relationship with your child. We'll talk about how to help them overcome the power of peer pressure. We'll talk about how to build self-confidence and self-esteem in your child. We'll discuss the importance of values and how to instill them in your child, among other things. As a parent and as a father of four children, I have a daughter 9 and a son 8 and daughter 5 and a son 7 months. And as a pastor, I have to admit this to you. I give you a confession. One of the easiest things there is for me to do is to sit back in my home, look at my family and go, drugs will never touch my family. Alcohol will never touch my family because I'm a great parent. Because my kids are better than that. Every time that's happened, God has been faithful to remind me of one other verse in the book of Proverbs, and it says this: the complacency of fools kills them. You know what my opinion is? In my opinion, I believe the most deadly drug of all, mom and dads, is complacency, and we've been taking it for years. Complacency is that false sense of security that we get from thinking there's no reason to improve, there's no reason to do anything different, things are going along fine, I grew up fine. Did you? Are you? Are you a confident, well-adjusted, secure individual? We look at our children, you see. The other thing that helps me is reminding myself of the very potential dangers and threats to my children. They're very real. They're very real. And reminding myself that I can determine my children's future. I, as a parent, can influence them. I can train them. I can be an example to them. I can build them. Now, you may be saying, I know. You may be saying, I know, Mark. Listen, I don't bite into this, man. Because I've had my friends who are parents tell me, I did everything for the kid. And look what he's done. He's turned on me. I'd like to sit down with your friends, find out if they really did do everything for the kid. You see, what happens is, moms and dads, it's easy for us to deny. Why? Because there is no greater pain in life than failure in the family. You realize that in all our pursuit of what we're trying to gain in life, there is no success in life that will make up for ruin in the family. There is none. It's painful. It hurts. And the hurt just simply doesn't go away. You know how many parents I've heard say to me, they've told me, I've got four children. They ask me first, why do you have four kids, number one? And then they wonder, well, just wait. And I tell them, I love children. Hey, just wait till the teenagers. Just wait. But I can't wait for mine to leave. What? You don't think your kids know that? They read your face. They read your comments. They know you can't wait for them to leave. How many kids hear from their parents, and I wish you'd never been born. You were unplanned. We kind of wished you hadn't happened. You know how many parents I hear comment, listen, hey, I wish my hands were a man. They can just do whatever they want. They made their bed and they're going to sleep in it. And that mentality follows us all through life. But moms and dads, listen, there's hope. There is tremendous hope if you and I are willing to believe we can make the difference. We can make the difference. You see, what we'd like is for the police department to clean off the streets, man. Get rid of all the drug dealers. And I couldn't agree with you more. The stiffer the penalty, the better. But I got another solution for you moms and dads. If you take away their market share, who do they sell to? Who's putting a gun to the kid's head saying, buy my drugs and take them? Who? I've never seen a story like that, never heard an interview like that, never read of a high schooler telling me that. You see, if we rob the dealer of their market, then they have no place to sell their commodity and businesses go broke. Now that's the part we can do. We can let the law enforcement officials and the government do their part, but moms and dads, we cannot go back on our responsibility. And we can make a difference. I want to invite you to be back for the next 4 weeks, because I can promise you they'll make a difference with your children. They will make a difference. I have seen them work in action in my own family. I have seen them work in action as I've shared them with others who are making them work in some of the most difficult situations you can imagine. They work. They work. God has a plan. God has a program, and it works. I appreciate you being with us here. Many of you are here for the first time, and I appreciate you giving us a try. I'm glad that you're with us. I hope you'll come back next week and to the next 4 weeks. Just stick with us 4 weeks, and I think it'll be well worth your time. I'd like to invite you after the service this morning in the cafeteria. We have refreshments. Please feel free to join us. I'll be out in the foyer. I'd love to meet you or answer any question that you might have. Let's just bow our heads this morning. Thank the Lord for our time.